Thanks for joining us here at Calvary Temple Online. Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to be looking there today at Ephesians chapter 5 as we talk about untapped potential. Untapped potential. Hey, but it's meantime, before we get to that, I want to share some memes that I can relate to. At my house, one of the big jokes at my house is that when somebody's wearing camo, we're always like, oh, I didn't see you there, you know, because you're kind of invisible. And I came across this one I thought was funny. It says, dude needs to make up his mind about being seen or not. Kind of funny, he has camo on, but he also has a fluorescent yellow vest on. It's like he kind of needs to make up his mind, right? I thought this one was pretty funny, for especially you guys, but especially might relate to it. But the wife says, sweetie, I have a problem with my car. The 710 cap fell off the motor. The husband said, what happened? What, the 710 cap? And the wife says, yeah, the 710 cap fell off the motor, and I'm scared that it might hurt the motor. I don't have the money to fix it. The husband says, well, send me a picture of the 710 cap. And the wife sends the picture, the following picture there, the picture on the text. And if you realize what that is, it's upside down. It's the oil cap. Oil cap, oil upside down is 710, I guess. But yeah, kind of funny. I thought it was funny. For those of you that like to do crosswords and stuff, I thought this was kind of funny. They make crosswords so easy these days. Look at that picture. Somebody's not on the right page there. That's not, they're doing the find the way through instead of crossword, right? Anyway, this one I just couldn't help but share with you. I bet jellyfish are sad there's no peanut butter fish, right? And you have to understand on this next meme that my family, there's a history of mailmen. My father was a mailman. My uncle, my grandfather, my brother-in-law, even I did was a mailman for a short period of time. And so this one is kind of really connecting to my family. It's one of those mailman jokes, but I thought it was funny. The doctor asked if I had any symptoms of mailman disease. I told him, no, I'm just a carrier. One of the cowboys standing by says, get a rope. But I love the caption underneath. The Punny Express was short-lived for obvious reasons. Speaking of cowboys, though, I couldn't help but share this one. I can relate to it as well. One cowboy says to the other one, he says, I thought you said get a long little doggy, boss. The boss sighs. He said, never mind. Anyway, I know some of those are groaners. But anyway, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at verse number 1, beginning verse number 1. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an adulterer, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have a light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. That is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for this incredible passage, this teaching from the Apostle Paul. Lord, helping us to realize the potential that you've placed inside of us, the things that we should and shouldn't be doing to allow that potential to reach its fullness. So Lord, I pray that you'd speak through this mouthpiece and challenge us today to be more like you in each and every way, every day. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I love golf, as many people know, and I love to play golf. And I heard a friend recently describe his golf game this way. He says, I know that I can golf better than I do. I just never have. I think his feelings about his golf game kind of summarize how the way many of us feel about other areas of our life. I know that I can do better. I just never have. I mean, we all seem to have this reservoir of untapped potential, whether it's out on the golf course or in the office or in our daily habits or in our marriage or in our quest for success, where we all know that we can do better than we certainly do. We just never have. Now, this applies especially to the Christian life. I mean, I think if we were being honest, if we were being truthful, we could truthfully say, I know that I can be more holy than I've been. I just never have. I know that I could be more like Jesus, but I just never have. You know, there's that untapped potential in each of our lives in which what we do doesn't accurately reflect what we have the potential to be. I know that I can golf better than this. I just never have. You know, today, I want to talk about how that we can begin to tap into our full potential, to live the kind of life that God not only has called us to live, but that he has equipped us to live, and he's empowered us to live, and he's promised is ours for the taking. Today, we're going to talk about how to reconnect that disconnect between what we are and what we do. Now, we're looking at a passage from the New Testament book of Ephesians. And as I probably say with about every book of the Bible that I preach from, Ephesians is one of my favorites. But Ephesians has been called the epistle for today, the letter for today, because it deals with so many topics that are relevant to 21st century believers, such as marriage, parenting, conflict resolution, anger management, you know, doing your job with integrity, and on and on and on. And today's text shows us how that we can start living our life like the person that God has called us to be, how that we can reach our full potential in Christ. The fact is that our potential is so much greater than many of us can even imagine. Now, Paul begins this passage with a command that may sound impossibly out of reach. He says in verse number 1, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but for me, this is a pretty intimidating imitation to master, I think. I mean, sometimes I feel like this is a command that is just a few levels above my pay grade. I mean, how could I even try to imitate God when I've got so far to go? But I want you to realize that when Paul gave this command, he wasn't being just merely idealistic. He was saying to his readers in the city of Ephesus, you have the potential to do this. So do it. He would say the same thing to us today. He would say, in effect, you have the potential to be much better than you are. Even up to this point, your spiritual journey hasn't reflected it, or your daily life hasn't reflected it, but you have the potential to do it. You have the potential to become, I think in Paul's words, an imitator of God. And if there's a disconnect between who you are and what you do, then you can experience a reconnect so that you can become the person that God created you to be. Now, we read these verses earlier, but let's unpack them a little bit and let's take a little closer look at what God is saying to us today in his word. Now, you're loaded with potential. There is no limit to what God can do through you. However, in order to achieve your full potential as a follower of Jesus Christ, there are three things that you need to know. So let's take a look at them. The first thing that you need to know is, number one, who you are in Christ. Who you are in Christ. Now, here's an important distinction that we need to make. When I talk about becoming the person God called you to be, that word becoming might be a little misleading if you don't fully understand who you are in Christ. Because in this context, when I talk about becoming, I'm not talking about who you are. I'm really talking about what you do. I'm talking about your performance of holiness and your performance only. And that's because who you are, and I'm talking about the core of who you are, has long since been settled by the cross of Calvary. It was settled when you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. At that moment, he came into your life. The Bible says that the old has passed away and a new you came into existence. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Paul also said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And in today's text, in verse number 8, he says, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. In fact, one theologian that I read this week in studying this particular text said that no other text in all of Scripture is as strong in explanation of what conversion really is. Paul didn't say you need to try to be light. He didn't say, you know, you're a little bit light and a little bit dark, so work on it. No, he says in verse number 8, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. That's who you are. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You know, I don't need to strive to become a new creation. I'm already a new creation. You don't need to strive to become light. You already are light. And in this context, the becoming part refers only to becoming consistent in what you do, so that what you do reflects who you already are. Now, what this means then is that since you are a new creation, you have the ability within your spirit to reach your full potential in Christ. Some of you may have wondered, especially if you're struggling with being good, do I have it in me to be a good person, to be holy, to be like Jesus? You know, I've wondered that myself about me, not about you, but about me. I've wondered at times, do I really have it in me to be that good? And the Word of God says, yes. Absolutely. You most certainly do, because you are a new creation. You are light in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whenever you watch a show like American Idol or The Voice or any of those others, you know, you can be a star type of programs, you sometimes hear someone audition and you wonder how in the world they ever got onto the stage. I mean, no matter how sincere they might be, they just don't have it in them to sing well, and no amount of coaching will ever change that. And then there are those who walk on stage and they step up to the mic, they open their mouth to sing, and they just have it. I mean, they have talent that most people can only dream of, and they have the potential to use their voice in ways that most of us never can. They just have it. For example, you know, think of the bumblebee. All the laws of physics say that the bumblebee cannot fly. Its body's too big for its wings. Technically, it needs a larger wingspan. In fact, for years, experts in aerodynamics have studied the bumblebee, and their conclusion is it cannot fly. It's impossible to fly for it to fly. They stuck a label on it, said grounded, has to walk wherever it goes. The only problem is the bumblebee couldn't understand what the experts were saying, and so therefore the label wouldn't stick. Now, against all the odds of aerodynamics, in spite of what all the experts have said, the bumblebee flies wherever it wants to. And do you know why the bumblebee can fly? Because God told it to fly. You see, God is not limited to the laws of nature. And if you will remove the wrong labels, you can be amazed at how far your wings can take you. Some of you today are not flying. It's not because you weren't created to, but because somebody put a label on you that you believed. And now it's become a stronghold in your thinking. It's limiting what God can do in your life. And I'm asking you today to remove the old labels and relabel yourself and your future with what God says about you. And what does God say about you? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. That's who you are in Christ. That's what God says about you. A new creation with untapped potential. Here's what I'm saying. When it comes to being able to live a holy life, a life that Paul described here as imitating God, you have it. You have it. You're not like the auditioner who has no hope of ever carrying a tune. You are like that one little kernel of talent that's ready to be nurtured. You are like the bumblebee who can fly even when he shouldn't be able to. I'm saying that for you, the potential is there. You can be who God created you to be. You don't have to be a slave to your old way of life, even though today you may feel exactly like a slave to it. But there is a divine spark in your spirit. The presence of Jesus Christ and his resurrection power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you. And his presence means that you are not who you once were. You were darkness, but now you're light. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. The old has passed away, and you have the potential to become an imitator of God. You know, in order to achieve your full potential, this is the first thing that you need to know, that you have it. You have it. It's yours in Jesus Christ. There is nothing holding you back because God has made you into a new creation. Now, secondly, you also need to know, number two, where your potential can take you. Now, what does the life of a person that is fully engaged in God's light look like? I mean, what does such a person do? What does such a person value? What does such a person pursue? Well, Paul uses three words here. Look at verse 9. For this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. This is where the light of God is taking you, in the direction of all that is good and right and true. Now let's take a quick closer look at these three words that Paul uses. Good, he says good. You know, this Greek word also implies generosity and even profitability. Paul is talking actually about a benevolent goodness. In other words, you're good to others. And this is one direction God wants your potential to take you, to being good to others. Secondly, he uses the word right. Now, other translations say righteousness, and some translations even say justice. Now, the Greek definition of this word is to give to others and give to God that which is their due. So the light of God in your life will take you in the direction of doing what is right, what is just, what is fair. And then the third word he uses is the word true. Now, one theologian said that the word true refers not merely to the facts that you know, but to the values by which you live. God's light in your life will take you in the direction of living out what you know to be true rather than just merely giving it intellectual assent. William Barclay actually summed up these three words like this. He said, the light which Christ brings makes us useful citizens of this world. It makes us men and women who never fail in duty, human or divine. It makes us strong to do that which we know is true. You see, this is where the potential that God has given to you is designed to take you. I mean, these are the top tier values for all believers to pursue. We want our lives to be about that which is good and right and true. And so the question is really, how do we get there? How do we get there? I mean, if God has created us with such potential in our lives that our life can be all about pursuing what's good and right and true, how do we get there? Well, that brings us to the third thing that you need to know, and that is you need to know, number three, how to live in the light. How to live in the light. Paul says in verse number 8, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. You see, that's our challenge, to live as people of light. Paul would say to you and I, you can do this because you are light. The potential is there. You only have to put it into practice. So how do we put it into practice? Well, today I want to share with you how to put it into practice. I want to challenge you to adopt three instead of strategies that will move you in the direction of reaching your full potential in Christ. Now, these are three areas where you're going to say, you know, that may have been the pattern of my behavior in the past. It may have been the way that I've done it before, but today, instead of doing it that way, I will begin doing it this way. So here are the three areas. You ready? First of all, instead of living to indulge your own desires, focus on living to please God. Paul says in verse number 3, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Now, especially like the way that this verse reads in the NIV version. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. You see, the first century culture in the city of Ephesus was not very different from the 21st century culture in America today. In fact, it was probably much worse. It was pretty much all about sex, and the prevailing attitude was pretty much anything goes. I mean, women were objectified then just like they are now. Minor children were oftentimes at risk then just like they are now. And the Christian concept of chastity before marriage and fidelity in marriage was considered unrealistic, as many people actually consider it today. I mean, to give an example, think about what it would be like in a non-Christian world. If there weren't Christians in the world, think about how chaotic and how pretty much anything goes that it would be today. So Paul was saying, in effect, society all around you may be sending a message that anything goes. But I'm telling you, don't even toy with that idea. Don't even hint at it. God has called you to live a life of sexual integrity, and that means that you don't treat anyone as an object for your pleasure. Paul also talks here about greed, which is the materialistic equivalent of lust. Both indicate an attitude that says, I want what I want, when I want it, and I'm going to have it no matter what. Paul says that this attitude of indulging our desires isn't fitting for God's people. Instead, he says in verse number 10, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. You know, living as people of light means that we say, God, instead of thinking about what will satisfy my selfish desires, I will think about what I can do that's good and right and true, because I know that that's what pleases you. Living as people of light means that we say, God, my life is not about what my sinful nature tells me that I should want for myself. It's about what you tell me that I should want for your glory. It means that like Jesus, we say, not my will, but yours be done. So I'm challenging you to adopt this strategy today, that instead of living to please myself, I will live to please God. Here's a second instead of strategy that I want you to think about. Instead of making conversation about matters that are out of place, focus on making each conversation about the goodness of God. Paul says in verse number 4, let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place. You know, we all work with that guy, or we have that neighbor, or we have that relative who's able to turn anything you say into a sexual innuendo. We all know that guy who can't string together a single sentence unless it's peppered with profanity. We all know that guy, and what I find interesting is that he was around in the first century. I mean, he was annoying enough that Paul felt compelled to even mention him. We all know that guy. And what I'm saying is, don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. And by the way, I'm not just talking about off-color comments. I'm talking about the need to make a snarky remark or you know, one of those, you know, I'm just kidding type of insult every time that you open your mouth. I'm talking about feeling the need to say something critical and condescending and edgy every time that you open your mouth. We don't need to be that guy. You know, this falls under Paul's category of foolish talk. And he tells us that instead of going negative in every conversation, to try this. In verse number 4, he said, let there be thankfulness to God. In other words, talk about the goodness of God. Talk about things that are uplifting. You know, say things that will build up those that are around you instead of sending their mind down a dark hallway. You ever notice at the airport there are signs everywhere that says something along these lines, all comments about bombs and or explosive devices will be taken seriously? Why are they there? Because there are some subjects that are just far too serious to joke about, and it's best not to say anything at all. The same goes for many, many things that we tend to want to talk about. I mean, if you want to reach your potential, you need to keep in mind that just because you think it doesn't mean that you have to say it. And so, you know, rather than talking about matters that are out of place, we need to make our conversation about the goodness of God. Now, here's the third instead of thing that I want you to notice. Instead of being influenced by the world around you, focus on sharing your light with others. Paul says in verse number 11, take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. Now, let's stop right there. Some people think that phrase, expose them, means that you point your finger at all the sinners in the world and you tell everybody what they're doing wrong. But you know what? When we read on, we see that that's not what Paul's talking about. Look at verse 12. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. In other words, sin is so dark and so ugly and so destructive, you don't even want to talk about it. Instead, Paul says in verses 13 and 14, he said, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. Now, there's a play on words that's going on here, and this is the point that Paul is moving toward. We don't defeat the darkness in the world around us by talking on and on and on about the darkness. We defeat the darkness with the power of the light. You know, let me give you an example of this. I was with a group of people one day, and someone in the group mentioned a certain person that wasn't there, and you never heard such a group of little school kids get so petty so fast. One person said this, and another person said that. I mean, it was open season on that absent person until finally I spoke up and I said, hey, the only thing I can say about so-and-so is that when I was going through a very difficult situation, they text me every day to see if there was anything that they could do, and they spent time praying for me every day. I thank God for them. Now, can you imagine how the mood of that conversation suddenly shifted and how quickly that group moved on to another topic? But do you see what happened when I spoke up? I shined a light into the darkness. I could have joined in with them, but I didn't. Or I could have, you know, gone on and on and on about the darkness of their behavior, as in, you know, you guys are pathetic. Don't you know gossip's a sin? I mean, what would some non-Christian bystander think if they heard what you're saying right now? And I'm ashamed to even say that I even know you. You know, I could have said that, but instead I just exposed this little group to the light. And here's what Paul's saying. Rather than participate in all the darkness that goes on around you, focus on bringing the light of God into each and every situation. Now, that doesn't mean that you talk on and on and on about how dark the darkness is. It means that you let people see the light of God that shines through you. And when you speak, you don't speak about the darkness. You speak about the beauty and the power and the glory and the majesty of our great and wonderful God. And in doing this, you will bring streams of white light into the darkened corners of this world. You know, in closing, I'm reminded there was a college football coach who liked to give his players mental workouts by quizzing them on what they would do in hypothetical situations. Well, one day, walking the sidelines, he stopped where a player named Johnson was sitting. Johnson, the coach barked out. He said, if it were 3rd and 25 and we were at midfield, what would you do? This player thought for a moment, and then he said, I would move down to the next bench to get a better view of the play. You know, God doesn't ask anyone to sit on the bench. In fact, we're instructed not to. You can't win if you're on the sidelines. You have to get in the game and play. Now, switching sports, you remember the John Fogerty song, Center Field? The chorus went, put me in, coach, I'm ready to play, right? Well, our attitude needs to be the same as the prophet Isaiah's attitude in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, when God said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah responded, here am I, send me. Isaiah was saying, put me in, coach. I challenge you to say the same thing today. You see, this is our potential, that we can live a life that stands for all that is good and all that is right and all that is true. And in doing so, we become imitators of God. Now, there are many who might say, I know that I can live this kind of life, but I never have. Well, today I want you to know that you can tap into your full potential in Jesus Christ. You can become the man or woman God created you to be. How do you begin taking those first steps toward achieving your potential, though? Well, you kind of adopt an instead of strategy. Instead of living for myself, I will live for the glory of God. Instead of talking about things out of place, I will talk about the goodness of God. Instead of being shaped by the world around me, I will bring the light of God into every situation. And you know, every time that you make an instead of choice, you become an imitator of God. Every time that you say instead of, you move in the direction of all that is good and right and true. This is your potential in Christ Jesus. You have what it takes because he has made you a new creation. You are light in the Lord. So walk as children of the light. God is calling us today to reach our full potential in Jesus Christ. He's given us everything that we need. We just need to put those things into practice in our life. You know, today, maybe you've never opened your heart or life to receive Jesus Christ. I want you to know that God loves you so much that he came and died on the cross of Calvary to pay the price for your sins once and for all, so that you could have a clean slate, a fresh start. You see, that's where that old life is crucified and buried, and that new life comes, and that new creation comes into existence. If you never received that forgiveness, though, that he's offering to you today, it's a free gift that's being offered, but it needs to be received. I want to encourage you right now to pray this prayer with me. If you'd like to make your life right with Christ, receive that forgiveness and move toward reaching your full potential in Jesus Christ, pray this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord, thank you for loving me so much that you gave your life to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I receive that forgiveness, that fresh start, that clean slate. And I want to begin a relationship with you right here, right now. So Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer in the comment section, say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer today because I want to rejoice with you and I want to pray that God would just continue to allow you to grow in that relationship with him. You know, for many of us, these words of Paul are incredible exhortation to us that we can reach our full potential in Jesus Christ. You know, maybe we've not been as good as we'd like to be. We know that we've not obtained what we need to, but God is saying to us today that we have within us the potential to be imitators of God. We just need to begin to put these principles that he shares in his word into practice. So I want to encourage you today that you can reach your full potential in Christ. We can be imitators of Jesus, imitators of God. We can walk as children of the light because God has made us a new creation. He's put his spirit inside of us, and that same power that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you. And so let's close in prayer asking God to help us to be able to reach our full potential in Christ. Father, I thank you today that, Lord, you've made us a new creation. You put that same spirit, the Holy Spirit that raised you from the dead, dwells in us. And so, Lord, there's such untapped potential inside of us that we've not been able to achieve the things that we are capable of achieving. So, Lord, today we're asking you to help us to reach our full potential. And instead of doing this, help us to do that, God. Help us to do the things that we need to do, to put the principles that Paul has shared with us here and throughout Scripture even, Lord, put those principles into practice so that we can be imitators of God in everything that we say, everything that we do. Let your light shine through us and let us shine that light into the darkness so that people will be drawn to you and will experience your glory and your presence in their life as well. We give you the praise and glory for all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We look forward to seeing you next week.